I would harness all those reviews and fix all the problems.
How do you do that with a manufacturer on the other side of the world?
You know, it's pretty incredible. I actually never visited any of my factories. I had 4 factories.
Wow.
And it was all through phone calls, Skype, and emails.
And it worked. Not a problem.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Doust. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
I drink your water. I drink it up. Every day, I drink the blood of lamb from Bandish Crack.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
Starting an online business and an Amazon business can be tough, right? There's a lot of mental challenges in that, and especially those first couple of years, there's a lot of decisions you have to make in order to be successful. You have to think about how much inventory should I be buying in that first year? How much should I be investing? How many new products should I be launching? All while not seeing a lot of cash in your pocket, because any money that you bring in, you're typically reinvesting in that business to be able to help it grow. And so there's a lot of challenges through those first few years. And I think a lot of people get ground down mentally during that time, because there's just so many decisions to try and make as you're growing a business. Joe, you had John on the podcast to talk about that. He went through this. He went through a successful exit. And now he's training people on that startup process, how to start up an Amazon business, how to build brands and make those decisions a bit more clearly, have the right mindset as well going through this to make sure that you have some resiliency through that process.
Yeah, John reminds me of us and what our website says, which is a bunch of entrepreneurs with a bunch of, you know, crazy been there, done that experience. That was a terrible quote from our own website. I should have had it up and read it.
It's something like that. It's
something like that. You know, a bunch of people that have done something.
We're just a bunch of guys. And Amanda.
And Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah, she runs the show. John, you know, he had a mid seven-figure exit. And it was substantial, life-changing one that, you know, will probably change a generation or two of his family. And he did it through building, you know, an Amazon business the right way with multiple brands in one seller account. Not that that's the only right way. There's many ways to do it. But he's sharing his direct experience. He's not the typical guru, if you will. And I shouldn't say that, because we have many friends who would be considered gurus that are actually really good at what they do. But he's been there, he's done it, and now he's going, okay, look, I can help people. I truly, truly can help people. And he's set up a system and a process to help people understand how to identify the right product, not just for maximizing value and return on dollars, but one that you're going to be happy and satisfied with, working with you and your cash flow, how long the launch process really takes, how often you should launch. He never used any launch services or anything like that. And there's a lot of steps that he set up and he goes through, and he's working with people one-on-one. And I thought it would be beneficial to have him on the podcast, because he does have a crazy amount of been there, done that experience. Hey folks, Joe Valley here from the Quiet Light Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. We've got somebody that had an incredible exit, one in the mid seven-figure range. It's John Elder. John ran an Amazon business with multiple brands. John, welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joe.
That was a short but powerful introduction, if I do say so myself. We don't read fancy intros here. John, can you give the audience listening a little bit of background on yourself so they understand who you are and why you're here as a guest?
Yeah, of course. So my story is kind of similar to a lot of people's, in the sense of I wanted to get more out of life, and there is always an entrepreneurial spirit in me. And so 2014 is when I started on Amazon, and I was also working in a corporate construction job, and I honestly thought I was going to be in that type of career the rest of my life. I went to college for construction management. So it's a pretty high profile, very successful career. But the scaling of salaries used to drive me, you know, a little crazy. And so I wasn't okay with just getting the 5%, you know, switching companies maybe down the line. So I got into the Amazon world because I thought it was a really great opportunity. At the same time, I'm really conservative, so I didn't go in with a large amount of capital, and so I started with roughly $5,000, and got my feet wet in the golfing category. Some of that is due to just my general interest in sports, and it was a product that there weren't a lot of competitors in that category. And it was something I was interested in and something that I thought I could innovate a little bit in that category and become the leader. And within a year, I actually did become the leader. So I became the number one seller for that specific product.
And did you have that you had the job the whole time, John, or did you quit?
Yeah. Actually, I worked full-time until 2016.
Excellent. Okay. It's good to hear. It's good to
Yeah.
That's so, what I like to hear. It's a less risky path for people.
Yeah, I definitely, so I'm married, I have a son, and so their needs actually, you know, come first. And so I had to make sure that I wasn't putting my family in a bad financial position.
Right.
So yeah, I definitely worked, you know, with factories at night, spent a lot of hours. My wife was very sacrificial in allowing me to spend all that extra time. And we used to have conversations about this, that we're building a business for the future. And there's some sacrifice that has to be made up front. And that's just part of life. And anyone who says that it's easy and it doesn't take that much time, it's a complete lie. It was a lot of work and very, very stressful, but it definitely paid off.
Yeah, so, well, you built five brands over that time period as well, right? Not just that one.
Right. And part of that story is just pursuing products that I had interest in. And so... And not all the brands were successful. Some of the brands were definitely not successful. But thankfully, the vast majority of my brands took off and became leaders in the respective categories.
Okay. So just reviewing, just so people understand fully who you are and what you've done, because we're going to talk about some of the nitty gritty here. But in the last year that you sold the business, you did about $6.5 million in revenue. You ran the business side by side with being a new dad and a full-time job for a couple of years before you exited. He had five brands, and ultimately you sold for mid seven figures, an amount, we're not going to give away the detail here, but an amount that is a life-changing figure that would have taken you 20 years in your construction business to earn probably.
Oh my God.
Maybe even more, right?
Oh yeah.
Did you over the 5 years or so that you were running the Amazon business, I always love asking this question, and it's a tough one because you haven't done the math yet, but did you take and make more money as you were running the business, take more cash out of the business for you and your family during that 5 year period, or did you get more when you sold the business?
Oh, definitely got more when I sold the business. Driving factors behind the success of my business was the vast majority of the money, any profits that we got were reinvested. And so that helped us launch products faster. It helped us launch new variations faster. And so that allowed us to grow the business very, very quickly.
You must have taken something out for yourself though, I would assume.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Just enough to live off of? Was your wife working?
My wife's a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
In 2016, when I went full time with Amazon, the goal was to, you know, pay myself a salary that mimicked my salary at my job, and then as the business grew, to continue to scale that up from there. And of course, you know, at Christmas time, because of the sales and the profits there, you know, doing things like small bonuses and things like that. Yeah. The money that I paid myself definitely increased over time. And the first 2 years, paid myself very little, just because I was obsessed with growing the business. And honestly, from the very beginning of starting the business, I had a number in mind for my exit someday. And so a lot of people will say they have vision boards. Mine was a very specific number. It was in the multiple seven figures, and everything I did in the business was geared towards that end goal. And so that's everything from having all my brands under one seller account, all my bookkeeping, just keeping everything clean, strong tax records.
Preaching to the choir. I love that. I love all of it. That's great. It's a clean and easy deal. Did that enable you? Was your buyer an SBA buyer or were they a cash buyer?
He was an SBA buyer. And the The package deal for that was kind of interesting. Roughly 75% was upfront cash. And then the rest was split between a seller note over 5 years and then an earnout in perpetuity. And so that actually wasn't originally in the contract. And with my lawyer on my side, we negotiated that to be perpetuity. So I'll get the money eventually for the earnout.
Wow, that's fantastic. That part of it was probably outside the SBA guidelines though, yes?
That's a completely outside the contract. SBA,
yeah. No separate idea. Good. Understood. Okay, so you learned an awful lot. You had five brands. Some were successes, some were failures along the way. You're now helping other people as well. What are some of the basic tips that you would give somebody if they're just starting out? So this podcast, even though you had a multiple seven-figure exit, even though you've operated five brands, you're really focused on helping people that are just starting out more than anything else.
Right.
What are some of the basic things that somebody should look for if they're, let's say, either starting out or if they're buying a small Amazon business that might be a couple of $100,000 in total value?
Yeah, definitely. So it sounds cliche, but follow your passion. That's something that I tell my clients and friends and family who are interested in starting an Amazon business. Do something that you're genuinely interested in. And it doesn't have to be your ultimate passion. For example, golfing was never the ultimate sport. It was just a general interest in it. But go into something that you have some sort of interest in, because at some point you will have hurdles and you will have issues with your business. So for example, you might have to spend a couple hours on a Friday night talking with one of your factories about resolving quality issues on a previous purchase order. So you got to be vested in that product. And if it's not a product that you're interested in, for example, I would never go into, women's makeup because I have zero interest in it. I just don't know if I would be totally in it once I hit those bumps in the road.
Yeah, and I've heard people say just the opposite, except for that part of the bumps in the road. So you could be product agnostic, but it helps. It's not an absolute requirement. It helps, as you're saying, to have some passion about the product. If you're going to end up on a call at 11 o'clock on a Friday night with a manufacturer on the other side of the world to work out some kinks in the detail, if you're not passionate about it, if you're not interested, if you hate it, you'd probably think about doing something else.
Yeah, and to take along this subject too, it's even deeper than that. I mean, so often, you're going to have other competitors for your product. Mm-hmm. There is so much innovation and improvement in your product that takes place over time. And so I wouldn't want to be looking at makeup, and spending hours and hours and hours trying to get a better formula because I just don't care about it.
Right.
So one of my other product lines was an outdoor kids product. The mission behind that brand was actually to encourage kids to rediscover the great outdoors. And so many kids are on tech now and they spend hours and hours inside on the Switch and on iPads that this is how I parent as a dad too. I encourage my son to go spend hours outside, And so
how old's your son?
He's five.
Okay. Wait until they're teenagers. It gets even worse, man. It gets even worse. They're playing with friends all the time. It's just online. I'm telling you. It's a different world. But okay. So yeah, have some passion about what you do. There's no question about it. You started with $5,000. Are you helping people that haven't even picked a product yet, or those that have a product idea and have sourced it and are really just trying to figure out how to get some traction on?
Yeah. So it obviously depends. Some of my clients definitely have product ideas and they're already innovating and they want to go into, a category where it's going to be truly unique and different. And then others are, still in the brainstorming stage. And my job is to just advise and help them along the journey all the way through, sourcing and getting onto Amazon and launching. But there is so much that goes into the product research phase. And that's what I tell people is, just expect to spend hours and hours researching because this is your money you're talking about. And some people, take out loans. This is real stuff. You need to be 100% sure that you're in it for the long haul with your product. And so, it comes down to, researching the estimated revenues for that product, the thing that made me the most successful was innovating products that had some negative reviews. And so I would harness all those reviews and fix all the problems.
How do you do that with a manufacturer on the other side of the world?
You know, it's pretty incredible. I actually never visited any of my factories. I had 4 factories.
Wow.
And it was all through phone calls, Skype, and emails.
And it worked, not a problem. But so are you working with a product innovation firm that's doing industrial design work for you, or are you just sketching it out yourself and asking for, you know, innovations from the manufacturer?
No, actually, the innovations were things that, so again, because I was in product categories that I had a deep interest in,
right.
I was able to innovate myself.
Okay.
So,
and do you then just put a drawing in front of that manufacturer and say, can you do this?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, sketches are really useful. And then something that blew me away was how intellectual or sophisticated the Chinese factories were. They actually had 3D modeling engineering guys in-house. And I worked with some big boys. You know, the factory, for example, for the golfing product that I sold, they actually supplied some products for the PGA Tour. So one of the keys to my success was working with factories that were not, you know, starting out a journey as a factory.
Like these, they were established factories. Yeah.
Very established factories that sold products to Walmart and brick and mortar companies.
Yeah. For those listening, one of the additional options is Gemba, GEMBAH.com. We had Zach on the podcast here. It's a product innovation company. It's awesome. You know, it's industrial designers that can do that. If you're not good at drawing and innovating, they can do that work for you so that you present a more professional look to the manufacturer. Okay, so spend advice number one, point number one, spend a lot of time on deciding what product and product categories you're going to go into, because this is where you're going to be spending all of your money in the future years. Yes.
100% and all your time.
Okay. So, all right, let's just say we picked a great product. What's next? I mean, is it simple photography, put the listing up, look at basic stuff in terms of recommendations from Amazon? Are you using a launch service like Viral Launch? Are you using some other launch service or a combination of different things?
Yeah. For launching, I can get into that in a second. So the next step that worked really well for me was doing a ton of screening with the factories. And then what I would do is I would do 3 samples, so 3 final samples. Okay. And that we're dealing with weeks and weeks of communications here. Like this is a long process to make sure that my factory is the best of the best. So I would test the factories over email, and I would ask oddball questions. I would also come across as the VP of logistics or the VP of product innovation. So I would definitely present myself as an image of a large corporation. Okay. And so they never thought that I was a mom and pop shop in the States. But getting 3 samples from 3 strong factories was really successful for me. So then I would, you know,
three samples from each or 1 sample from each?
One sample from each factory.
Okay.
And then I would stress test those products, use them, inspect them, see how they feel in my hand, do all those types of things, ask friends and family what they thought of the product. So that was a very common process. And then I ended up, you know, after taking in all that data, deciding on my final factory.
This may be a basic question, but I assume you're paying for the sample and paying to have it shipped, right? They're not sending free
Correct.
Samples and free shipping. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, so at least the samples are free.
Yeah. So you're going to spend several hundred to $1,000 in just reviewing product samples, I would assume, depending upon the product cost, of course.
I would say a couple hundred.
Expect it. Okay. Yeah. And that's an incredible investment that you have to make, right? You can't just look at some stuff and get 1 sample and off you go.
Yeah. You know, it's common to see that everywhere right now of like, you can skip all those steps and you don't need to worry about that. No. There is some time and money up front that is going to save your butt long term.
Okay.
100%.
So then if you've got that product, the product samples, let's say you want to innovate or on all 3, say they're pretty close, but you want a thicker grip on a handle or something like that. Are you asking the manufacturers all 3 just to see how they respond and react and work with you in terms of innovation?
100%. 100%. And part of that is also testing how flexible they are as a factory and how easy they are to work with.
Okay.
You know, if they put up a big fight and complain about things, you know, that's going to, you know, be a red flag mm-hmm. for me. And the factories that I ended up working with, the answer was always yes. Their response was, yes, we can do that. Yes, we want your business. Yes, yes, yes. Those are the guys that I ended up working with. The ones who caused issues for me and said, no, we can't do that. That's going to cost $5,000. I just got rid of those guys, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right off the bat.
All right. So what's next? You've used, you know, tested three manufacturers. You chose a product. You innovated the product. You're at the point where you've got the final decision on what you're going to invest your money in. What's next after that?
So at that point, you have your final sample and hopefully you have that in hand. So typically production, depending on how many units, my test unit order was always 250 units, sometimes 500 units. So what I would do is while production is happening, you know, whether that's 2 weeks or 4 weeks, I would have my final sample sent to a professional photography firm. In the very beginning, I actually took pictures myself and had a designer kind of edit my pictures and pump up the colors a little bit. But later down the road, when I was launching product after product, I'd send the products to a professional photography firm mm-hmm. and have them do the enhanced brand content just to tie in the branding for my product. Because in the beginning, I sold a lot of random products. And then as time went on and got more educated on it, I realized I need to be establishing my brand. I need people to come to Amazon and for that specific golfing product, I want them to see my name and think quality and fantastic customer service. That's what I wanted them to remember about me. And so part of that is beautiful packaging. Part of that is beautiful enhanced brand content. I had videos as my seventh picture on the listing.
I was just going to ask that. How many of your listings had videos on them? All of them? Eventually?
So my two largest brands had videos.
Okay.
That was kind of like a cost decision because the videos that I went with were extremely high production videos.
Okay.
And now not everyone has to do fancy videos. The reason why we justified that was those brands were very, very large. So we're talking big revenue numbers. So
yeah.
It was something that I felt was needed.
You didn't do that out of the gate on that first golfing product, I assume, right?
No.
Plus it was 2014. It probably wasn't an option for you.
No. Oh, I think, I don't remember the year that they allowed videos on the listing. I think it was maybe starting to happen in 2017-ish. But yeah, in the very beginning, everything, you were locked out of everything. You had a paragraph for your description. You had bullet points and then seven pictures. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So now you've ordered product. You ordered 250 units, spent a couple $100 on samples. You got another final sample you sent off to a photographer. It doesn't sound like you've got a whole lot of money left if you're starting out with $5,000. I guess it depends upon how much your product cost is.
Yeah. So that initial investment can range drastically, right? So my first product in the golfing category, I sourced it for $1 a unit.
Okay. Well, that makes a difference. That explains
it
right there.
Yeah, exactly. It makes a huge difference. And I did that on purpose just because I'm so financially conservative that I wanted to, you know, learn the logistics process of Amazon and not screw, you know, if I did screw something up along the way, whether that was customs or something in Amazon, I wanted that that capital invested to be small.
And if you were in a competitive space, I would imagine the barriers to entry in terms of cost are pretty low. So a year later, you said you wound up with a top listing, but did you start to see competitors come in pretty rapidly after that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think what drives that is people see a new seller, take over that category mm-hmm. and then they see all the revenue go to me and mm-hmm. then they think, oh shoot, I'm going to mimic him and I'm going to come in and take some of the revenue. And that's, you know, that's part of life is you have to, and that's when I mentioned innovation, you have to be constantly innovating your product. You know, so I ended up adding a special device to my golfing product that actually had a patent for it. So no one else, you know, could do that. But that was kind of like an additional tweak I did for the product that made my listing unique and different from all the other listings. So that's just the harsh reality of Amazon is once you become a category leader, you will have a lot of other people come in and mimic you.
And the way to fight that is to innovate.
To innovate, be the best. And when you think your pictures are good, just do it. Get even better pictures.
Get better pictures. Yeah, I hear you. Okay. All right. So, now we've got the product. You've ordered it. You are starting to have your photos done. What's next? I had mentioned, launches and systems and things of that nature. Where are you helping your clients and advising them to go from there?
I'm different in the world of Amazon because most of my products, actually all the products were done organically. And so my strategy is a little slower than other sellers.
Let's define what you mean there organically.
So for example, never using services like Viral Launch or other services where you're paying discounted rates or using a website to launch your products. So
you simply put the listings up on Amazon, used Amazon sponsored ads, and off you went.
So it's a little more than that. So I would have...
It always is. I like to simplify things and dumb it down, but I know it's a lot more complicated than that. Yeah. No launch services, no, nothing like that. Okay.
Right. And so what was really beneficial was actually humorous autoresponder emails. So we use a service called Feedback Wiz that was really, really successful. Alongside that, doing a little bit of a giveaway through the early reviewer program, and then just pumping PPC, to be honest with you. And so typically we do like slightly reduce cost for the product to be priced a little lower. Nothing too drastic because that can mess up your lightning deals down the road. So we would reduce it a little bit and just funnel a ton of money into PPC. And then we had an autoresponder series on average 2 to 3 emails.
So what, explain to the autoresponder part, because you don't have control of the customer. This is after they buy the product. I'm confused on the autoresponder part.
Right. This is right after someone buys the product. Okay. So one email goes out 3 days after they receive the product, and then another one goes out 7 days, and another one goes out 14 days. And those are all tweaked specifically to be kind of funny. So many people open up emails and to be honest with you, most people don't open their emails very often. So having a really funny title for the email, and then the actual body of the email being short and sweet, and using a joke or something about the product was really, really helpful.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're not breaking even up front, I assume, because you're spending a lot of money on pay-per-click.
No, definitely in the red when I first started. Pretty much all my product launches started in the red. To get
and
started.
How long are they in the red for?
Oh man, probably a minimum of 6 months because I'm doing it organically.
Okay. So how many products are you launching in the first year? 2? Or are you going after more?
Let's see. The first year was 2 products actually.
Okay. Yeah. So if somebody's coming to you with a little bit bigger of a budget, and let's say they've got 20 grand and they're really needing your guidance to, get launched, and they've got an idea of the product, are we still looking at losing money or breaking even for the first 6 months, eventually breaking even and making a little bit?
That is so dependent on the category that you're in. There's, if you go into a category where you're competing with guys that have 500 reviews, 1,000 reviews, let's say the top 10 sellers have 1,000 reviews, it's going to take some time and you're going to have to burn through some cash. And the reason why is PPC is gets more expensive every single day. That's just the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And everyone is competing for those keywords. And so, for example, with my products, I always outbid my competitors for the top search volume keywords. And the reason why is that drove incredible sales to my listing, and PPC was actually the highest cost in terms of expenses for my business.
Do you know what it was overall as a percentage of your revenue?
Oh man.
I'm typically seeing anywhere between 10 and 20%.
Yeah. I want to say it was more like 25%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're dealing with the PPC cost alone. My CPA would just look at me and be like, man, you guys are spending a lot of money on PPC. But that's just the reality of the business.
But your CPA still has a day job. You get to do whatever the hell you want at this point in your life, right?
That's true.
So who was right? You or your CPA? I think you were.
So, I think he sees the numbers. Those expenses look kind of scary. But when you're looking at the percentage of revenue, it becomes a little less scary.
Yeah. Now, do all, I know the answer to this, but not all product launches are going to take 6 months to start to get traction and break even. Did you have any in your five-year stretch where you'd see some just home runs out of the gate or get some profitability, you know, within yeah, the first 1 to 2 months?
The kids product took off very fast, and that was a very organic launch. And the reason why was there were maybe two or three sellers for that product, and they had an inferior quality problem. So if you go looked at the reviews, the actual liner of the material for the toy would just deteriorate like within a month under the sun. And so we innovated and we got the best liner possible, got UV resistant liner, and improved the product drastically. And that took off with beautiful pictures. We actually hired some models of some family members that actually took pictures of the product, and just focus on quality for that product. And people bought it and realized, wow, this is like, and showed up in the reviews, your product is lasting a long, long time. And that became very successful very quick.
And it was all from looking at other listings and the negative reviews that those had and innovating and improving the product.
Correct.
Yeah, pretty cool. How hard is it though to find, you know, a category where there's only two or three sellers? That seems like an impossible task these days, is it not?
So Amazon is definitely, they have a lot more, there's a lot more competition now. You know, I think the secret's out about FBA.
Might be, yeah.
Could yeah. be. So it's definitely harder now. I think that most categories are going to have far more than two to three sellers. And so what I always recommend is just, you know, even if there's seven sellers, you can break into those market segments if, you know, as long as you're not dealing with sellers that have, you know, like 1,000 reviews.
Right.
If seven of them have 75 reviews, maybe 200 reviews, that's something that you can definitely go into and compete with. But there is always going to be a hole in the market. There's always going to be a chance to innovate and do something and spend the time to make the best product possible that lots of other people are going to do. And one example was actually the leather goods category that I was in. And it was specifically for men. We drilled down all the way into the product packaging. And so a lot of people don't do that. They would get their leather goods product and they'd open it, you know, from the box, and it's in a poly bag, right? That's not an experience.
Right.
So our idea was, let's make it an experience for this person to open it up. And so everything down to the custom packaging for the box, down to a branded tissue with branded tape. So whenever the person opened this product up, they knew that they were receiving a high-end, high-quality product that was different from everyone else. So that's just like, it sounds kind of silly, but no one spends time with packaging. And like, what does that feel like when you open up that product at home?
It's because it's not sexy. They spend time on marketing and top line revenues and talk about it with their friends because it's sexy. But packaging and good bookkeeping and good branding and good photos and videos and profit is actually what puts you in the best position possible, which is doing whatever you want at this point in your life.
Yeah, definitely. What's interesting about that is the customers would actually talk about all the nitty gritty details, you know, that I spent time on. Mm-hmm. Actually, that would come up as content, and some of those reviews would be the top rated review. So someone left a review on one of the leather goods products, and it was this detailed long review with pictures, you know, and they went out of their way to be like, I've never opened a product from Amazon and the packaging was just stunning. So I was like, yes, you know, it worked. And so other customers can go to Amazon, obviously see the top rated reviews and see, you know, that type of content. And it definitely helped and you know, soon became a leader in that category.
Cool. Hey, John, we're running a little short on time, but I wanted to ask you, what are some of the biggest challenges you think folks are going to face?
I think the biggest challenge is, you know, definitely just not getting swept up in sexy products. You know, that's so many people, I've seen this online so much, you know, just this huge push for, you know, going into supplements, for example. And I tell my clients, do not do supplements. don't go into that category. Don't do it. You know, don't do products that go on people's skin. Don't go into products where, you know, you're ingesting things. So I'm always recommending kind of simpler products that are very, very low risk, and don't go into knives, you know, things where people can get injured. So just focusing on a product that, you know, you're interested in and it's low risk. And that's always tough because you see the revenues that other sexy products are bringing in and people get swept up in that.
You know, this is one of the first times I wish I just hadn't asked that question, because I sold my own company was a digestive wellness supplement company.
Oh, no kidding.
I've got a good friend that's selling his makeup business for, you know, like $40 million. We have, as a company, supplement companies that are, you know, under contract for anywhere from $2 to $20 million. And I think when they're done right, they're done right. I think they're
exactly. And I would never want to give the impression that it's not possible. You know, it's just my conservative nature kind of stays away from those types of product lines. And you have to be, you definitely have to be a more sophisticated seller.
These guys are all very, very smart, very good at what they do, have SOPs that will pass on to the new owners of the business, as did mine. And it's competitive, right? It's that there are low barriers to entry cost wise.
Extremely. You have to have big capital, and that's one of the barriers for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it is it's a low barrier to entry to buy into the product category, but then you've got to rank, and that's where the additional capital and expertise comes in. Very challenging. Good. All right. So how do people reach out to you? I see it's blacklabeladvisor.com, but ideally let's talk about who your typical client would be and how they reach out to you.
Yeah. So the easiest way to reach out is go to my website, blacklabeladvisor.com, or you can email me, John, J-O-N @blacklabeladvisor.com. And so my passion is to help other people replicate my story. So many people I talk to are, you know, they'll see my story and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's a dream, you know? And I used to think it was a dream too. And when I closed on the sale of the business, it was a dream come true, you know, to see the money come through. It was an unbelievable feeling that you just never think it's ever going to happen. And so I have, you know, recommendations and systems and third-party companies I highly recommend. And so along the way, I, you know, made mistakes myself. And my passion is to help people avoid those mistakes and grow their business faster, just because of all the experience I have. And just help them along the journey of, you know, with the end goal of selling someday.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Folks, John is not a somebody who can't, so he teaches. He actually did it. He built a Amazon business with 5 brands, sold for multiple 7 figures, and now he's helping. And that's what we do at Quiet. We help first. We want to help you succeed. Strangely enough, it actually helps us in the long run too, right? Somebody listening in the audience, hire somebody like John who has real life experience to give real life advice to help them succeed in their online business. That person will come around to Quiet Light someday as well. So with that, look around. Who can you help? Help out your neighbor, help your friend that's in the online space, and keep helping. It'll come back around to you.
Definitely.
In time. John, I appreciate your time. BlackLabeladvisor.com, folks. Reach out and connect with John if you need some help getting your Amazon business off the ground. Talk to you soon, John.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light content team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.